You're a first-year grad student. You just got finished reading some Moxian historian, Pete Garrison, probably. You're going to be convinced of that till next month when you get to James Lemon. Then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood, talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital-forming effects of military mobilization.
As a matter of fact, I won't, because Wood drastically underestimates the impact
of social distinctions predicated upon wealth, especially inherited wealth. You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too. Were you going to plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter? Or is that your thing? You come into a bar, you read some obscure passage, and then pretend you pawn it off as your own idea just to impress some girls, embarrass my friend? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on a fucking education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal. But, I mean, if you have a problem with that, I mean, we could just step outside. We could figure it out.
Oh, man, there's no problem. It's cool.
It's cool?
Yeah.
Cool.
Fucking damn right, it's cool.
Why you like me not?
My boy's wicked smart.
Do you love tweed and elbow patches? Have you ever dreamed of sitting in front of a real, live, bearded, tweeded, elbow-patched, bona fide professor while continuing to stare at your cell phone screen? Did you know you can pay upwards of $50,000 for the privilege of doing most of your work online while seated in the front of a personalized, bearded, tweeded, elbow-patched professor? It's all true. Just imagine you nearly missing trees and other students while strolling to your in-person class. The professor using an antiquated lint brush tool to look spiffy and smart as he waits for your cellular phone device buried head to enter the classroom. Priceless, less $500 application fee and pending tuition. You will not only earn the degree of your choosing, but can have it printed out for the additional cost of your firstborn child. Imagine having this paper jewel on your wall as you awaken at 5 a.m. to ask your nanny to take little Manchester to daycare. Cute. Don't worry, you'll have plenty of time to make it to yoga. You've pre-registered, remember? One of the skills you and everyone else learned at Cellular U. Let me break this down to you in a way you might better understand. Don't be stupid about this, okay? You need that printed piece of paper, or you will end up in a van down by the river, or in your parents' basement working at Wendy's or Radio Shack. Cellular University. Cellular U.
Hat and shovel and a pair of dungarees. You will find him in the forest, always sniffing at the breeze. People stop and pay attention when he tells them to beware, cause everybody knows that he's the fire preventing bear. Smokey the Bear, Smokey the Bear, prowling and a growling and a sniffing in the air. He can find a fire before it starts to flame. That's why they call him Smokey. That was how he got his name.
Linda.
Your call has been.
Oh, Linda.
Magnetic voice message system. 503-44.
This is what's going to happen. I'm going to call her back. I was talking into the wrong spot. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to call her back, or she's going to call me. She's going to say the following. One. I heard the phone, I heard the sound, and then I had put it in my pocket, and etc. Or, oh, it's the ringer was turned off, but I felt this buzzing and I didn't know. Or, oh, it fell in the, you know, River Styx, and I had to consult with various mythological experts about how to go about extracting it. That's what's going to happen. Anyway, let's try again. She's always got an excuse about the phone and why she doesn't pick it up. I'm gonna try her another time. Oh, Linda. Linda, answer your phone. That was a pretty good one. Didn't rhyme. Wasn't supposed to rhyme.
Hi, sweetie.
Uh-oh, Mom!
Yes?
What's happening?
Listen, well, I was just trying to... I forgot my phone in the bedroom, and I was trying to get to the chair with my food, and I was fighting with the cat just so I could see when you get it.
Whoa, that's so much better than what I predicted. Oh. You never disappoint.
That's weird, isn't it? There always is a story, isn't there?
No, it's not weird. If there was not, if you were like, hello, and that was the end, I would be so disappointed.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to be chewing.
Oh, go for it. Go for it. Oh, my gosh. Anywho. Are you sitting right across from Karen? I was just messaging her.
The only door that we can shut. Oh, no, I guess they went in my bedroom.
Oh, okay, okay.
I could eat something. I should have gone in the bedroom myself. But
what's the deal with the cat?
Oh, my gosh, he's an absolute maniac about food. He is absolutely a maniac. He just acts like he's starving to death in any kind of people food. He'll just be right down.
Oh,
just
dear.
Loves it, apparently.
What the heck? Cats don't normally do that.
I know. Yeah, they other cats don't pay any attention to when we're eating.
The cat drama. Meow, meow. What are you eating?
He's so fast and you know, the thing that's really weird, though, is Karen can get him to sit if she's going to give him something. She tells him to sit, and he does, and then she gives him
something. So he is more like a dog, because dogs beg for food, and they sit.
Oh, yeah. That's true. I didn't think about that.
Well,
he's
shoot.
Exactly like a dog.
One of these days, he's going to be like, I have something to tell you. And he's going to unzip his mask, take it off. And it'll be,
oh, my God.
I'm actually a dog. Woof, woof.
I'm just a really, really miniature dog.
But he's going to have some kind of Eastern European accent.
I don't know if he can get any food in his mouth.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Aye to the yai, Linda.
Yeah. Excuse me for chewing.
That's totally fine. That's what I always do.
I know, but I can't tell when you're doing it.
I know. I'm like, I've just scaled Kilimanjaro. Hold on. I need to take a sip of water. Just kidding. No. Actually, I was really going to be ambitious today and go a little bit to this town. I don't know why. I saw somebody's photos of this town called Hope, Alaska. Plus, you know, Hope, like H-O-P-E.
Oh,
like
I've heard of that,
Bill Clinton's hometown, except for in Alaska, not Arkansas, which is there's probably a lot of mail snafus, like snail mail snafus, because A-K, I think a lot of people think Arkansas is A-K, and it is not.
Oh, sure. That's awfully close.
Shoot. But anywho, it was like an hour and a half away, so that's not too far. But this particular road, I get so sleepy when I drive down this road that I actually was like, nope. I went about 18 miles, and I thought, I'll just stop here. I'm such a lightweight. I don't know. I just get really lulled into it. It's really pretty, and I don't know. And I didn't need to go all the way there. I was just kind of like, let me go somewhere different. But I instead pulled up to the side of the road where there were a bunch of cars, and there was a waterfall, and I thought, I'll hike up this thing. And then I happened to have my hiking guidebook and looked it up, because I thought, I should look this up before I attempt it. And it was like, this is, compared to the other hardest trail in this area, this is harder. So I was like, great. Then it's really long, it's really far, but I thought I will go for like 10 minutes or something wussy like that. But the point is, I was going to call you when I was walking, but not up this steep thing. it's game over. There's semi-competitive athletes. There's professional. And I am none of the above. I mean, I just like to do my thing. Because when I'm like, oh, this is too hard, I actually just turn around. You think I'm hardcore, but not compared to these Alaskans. They just, oh my gosh.
Well, some people's deal is hiking, I think. You know, I mean.
Plus, I was hungry, so that didn't help. And there was no food to be seen. I'd forgotten the food I was going to bring with me.
Yeah, that wouldn't help.
Yeah.
I've got my potato pizza that I like.
From Extreme Pizza?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Really good. Good.
Well, who knows how we ever get it onto any subject, but...
Oh, that's true.
Shoot, I don't remember.
Yeah, well, it was more like... I don't know, like, in the summer, Grandma and I go up to Splendid Lake Lodge.
Yeah.
And I just loved it up there, and I loved it out in the woods and stuff, you know? I mean, that's where I was, in the woods, because we took horseback rides every day and stuff, and I didn't know what I wanted to do when I went to school.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking I would really like to do something that was outside in the forest, you know? That's kind of... I mean, I didn't look into it or anything, but I just thought it'd be really neat to just work out in the forest and live out there and stuff. I always thought it'd be neat to be a lookout, fire lookout in the summer and stuff.
Ooh, you could be right now.
Because I like being by myself. I liked being out in the woods, and I, you know, thought that was something I could do, you know, was watch for forest fires or something.
That would be pretty great.
And just be a ranger, you know.
Yeah, like get on a horse.
I loved smoking a bear, you know.
Who doesn't?
Who said you can prevent forest fires, not wildfire.
Oh.
Fires. Anyway,
when did they change that? I actually looked, do you know that the other, I don't remember why, but for some reason I spent probably like at least 15 minutes looking up old Smokey the Bear. It was when I found Smokey the Bear downtown. He was dressed up and I took an Instagram picture, and this is how far I will go for my Instagram pictures, but I looked it up and then I got carried away and started watching like 1972 to whatever year it was when they started, when they ended the campaign. But like they had Woodsy Owl and Smokey the Bear. But you're right. I remember you complaining about that. The wild forest fires versus what? Because does wildfire kind of diffusion of responsibility sort of thing?
No, but it just wasn't forest fires. I think it was more like people who set fires in places that they never should have set them and stuff. I mean, it kind of morphed over into any kind of a fire that was outside, you know.
That's true.
Which is probably good, because that's how it is now. You know, it wasn't just fires in a forest, you know. But I was really surprised when Smokey Bear was still around the first time I saw him. So anyway.
Ooh, I've just looked him up. Hold on. Let's see if we can play it. It's kind of creepy. It's like an animated Smokey Bear song. Loading Smokey Bear song. Oh, this looks like it's modern. Oh, I don't think I'm gonna like it.
Okay, kids.
Whoa.
It's time to start Fire Prevention Week.
Kenny or no? Wait.
Myers, already know about wildfire.
Oh, it's in my earphones. Whoops.
Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by people?
I have to leave it on.
Yeah.
The teacher's name is Mrs. Myers.
Are preventable by people like you and me. I didn't know that.
How do you know
so much about wildfire prevention?
How do you know so much about what? Hold on. I'm just listening to
Ms.
it.
Miss McMyers.
Oh, Mick Myers. Whoops. She's Scottish.
Smokey Bear.
Oh, forget it. No. That's it. There's like some imposter Smokey Bear song. 1952, Eddie Arnold sings Smokey the Bear for an old public service announcement. Wow.
It was way back. I know that.
Well, you were born in 1913?
45.
Mom, I know that. Okay, so you, but instead you decided, or did you decide, or did it feel like it was decided for you what you should do?
Well, I don't know if I said anything to anybody about it, or if I tried to look into what you would have to do to
yeah.
Like I say, Missoula has the sports school, you know. So then the next thing that I wanted to do, I wanted to be a psychologist.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
So I took some psychology classes when I was a freshman, and for some reason, no, that wasn't something you wanted to do because you couldn't make a living, you know.
Yeah.
And it kind of came down to, well, if you have kids and you, like, being a teacher is the best thing because then you have, you know, summers off and vacations and stuff. And so
if you have to actually do the job.
Right, right. And it was a fallback job anyway. It was it was not, you know, I didn't plan to be a career person. It was just like you had it, something you could do if you needed to, you know.
Yeah.
So I didn't ever plan on doing it. And I, you know, it just, it's really hazy back then as far as what was what. And, but all I know is that it was a good, you needed to have something to fall back on if you needed it. But you were going to be a housewife. You know.
Well, and I wonder if that's even a step past, like, grandma's generation probably didn't have even the fallback, because why would you fall back on anything?
Yeah, yeah. Of course, she had her beauty. You know, she did hair. I think that grandpa didn't want her to work, because I think that he wanted her to be there, like, when he got home and stuff. And I think that was because I think she really liked doing it, and she really liked being, you know, doing hair. And there was something about, he used to get really bad migraines when they had first got married. Mm-hmm. And so he would, sometimes he'd come home from work and, you know, have this really horrible headache. And so he kind of wanted her to be there, and she would come home and he'd be laying on the couch or something, you know, that headache, and I don't know, it was kind of complicated, so she just kind of gave up and didn't do it anymore.
Yeah,
oh, the whole thing's just a mess. I mean, really, you know, when you think back on it, it was just, you know, it was just so different from now that it's hard to imagine.
And it's, I don't know, it's interesting because now it's going to be the same story for the generation ahead of me. It's so different now that you can't imagine. So that's why it's too bad that we can't always just be like, all right, let's just assume that we're not going to have a freaking clue what the next generation is up to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I've kind of gotten to that point now.
Yeah.
I've kind of let go of a lot of my preconceptions and... You know, just,
like, what are they going to do? How are they going to make this work? Da, 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 da. The truth is, the people who are going to work for the man are the people that are going to be in trouble pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think.
You know, I've seen a couple articles on Facebook just this week that sounds like, you know, if you're kind of part of a big corporation or something, that doesn't sound like they're going really well.
No.
With the kids that I worked with, there were a few of them, you know, that were pretty advanced and you know, would go somewhere sometime, but so many of the ones that I worked with, you know, were trying to learn colors.
Yeah.
And stuff. And, I mean, a lot of the kids I worked with just weren't going to be going very far anyway, and so you're just trying to work on basic living skills kind of in a way. And then there were some that, when I got first grade, I had a couple of kids one time that could read, you know, like third grade book. I mean, they could actually really read. And they were about the only ones that could at that point. You didn't expect them to be reading when they came, you know, got to kindergarten. It was, or even first grade, that's, you know, by the end of the year, we're happy if they could read something.
I can't read anything.
One thing, though, I remember when I was teaching Polson that first year, there was no kindergarten or anything in Polson. And so the first part of the year, I figured out that we had to kind of do the kindergarten type stuff. And then the second part of the year, when we needed to get through the first grade stuff. but I had this one little girl, Polson's on the Indian Reservation, and this one little girl, Kathleen, that was kind of my favorite kid. She was just really, really smart and everything. And she would work with this little Mary a lot in her, you know, she'd get her stuff done, and then so she'd be sitting there working with Mary. And by the end of the year, her mom, Mary's mom, came at the end of the year, and she was just so happy because she said that Mary was the first one of her kids that learned how to read in first grade. And, you know, I remember that because I said, that was Kathleen. You know, I mean, it was probably partly what we did, you know, in class and stuff, but her mom just could not believe that she, you know, had learned how to to read a little bit in first grade because nobody, none of her other kids had ever learned that. And I thought that was kind of amazing, but then I couldn't even take credit for it.
Oh, geez. Oh, boo. Just take credit. Oh, I know. I'm a genius. Meanwhile, Mason doesn't know how to read by the time he's three. He's in trouble.
Then it's a problem. Yeah. Oh, my gosh, honey. Anyway.
I don't know either because I don't, you know, I'm not really in that world. It seems like the gap between the kids who are going to get left behind and the other kids is just going to keep getting bigger. And yeah, sure, there's a lot of kids who are going to get it and be overachievers and everything else. Yeah, they were saying that, you know, your brain, it was creativity. Oh, yeah, it was this guy talking about creativity, and he's a I think he's like a listen to me. Clearly, I was not going to be a neurological surgeon because I can't say the word. I think he's a neurologist, but he was something else more fancy than that, so I don't remember. But he was saying, like, you know, the time that we all used to have, the time that we had unscheduled time where we could just do whatever is really important for your brain. It's almost like the download happens then. So you might be learning and doing all this stuff, but you've got to have the download time or it gets stuck or something in there. That's at least how I think of it, because it's exactly the same for me now. I could be sitting and listening and learning or writing or something, but I will sit in front of my computer like I did today for about an hour and a half of, you could call it, wasted time looking at it, doing other things. And then all of a sudden I'm like, nope, I'm doing it right now. I sit down and write and I bang it out and it's done. But if you're only in learning mode, only in doing mode, only in go, go, go mode, you never have the time to download it.
No, you don't. Yeah.
Or to pre-sift through it. And he was talking about his kid who was like an artist, a visual artist, and he just is like, I don't know, I don't understand him, I don't know anything. I thought, oh, that was my mom. She had no idea what to do with me. But I just, there's got to be a point where you cut it off and go, nope, that's not important enough to forge ahead constantly without any kind of break.
I don't have a clue what the future's going to work out to be.
I think there's always some kind of course correction or override where all of a sudden it's almost like the hipsters, like all of a sudden it becomes cool to care about your food or you know, artisan this or craftsmanship that. It's like the kid, it'll all of a sudden be really, really cool to go to the woods or to do nothing. Maybe that's what will happen. You know, it'll suddenly, and it'll be for an entirely different reason, probably.
Because everything blew up and they
there you go.
They couldn't keep going at the pace that it was going.
Well, exactly. There's plus or minus 7 pieces of information at a time, and then I've heard 4, or your brain can't handle. So when you look at something, it can only handle, you know, a couple of pieces of information at a time.
Uh-huh.
And bombard me with all the information you want, I'm still not going to get most of it.
Well, and I just read something the other day, too, about the Wall Street, and I can't remember what it was going to say.
So you can handle minus 7 bits of information. Just kidding.
What's that?
I said you can only handle minus 7 bits of information at a time.
There you go. That's me, for sure. But it was something about people are starting to realize that nose to the grindstone isn't good. You know, but people have to take breaks from that. Well, they even have ads on TV anymore for like taking your paid vacation.
Gosh, really?
2 weeks of paid vacation, you should take it. You know, you shouldn't just work through it every year.
Take your vacation.
I think that's why people don't take their vacation though. But people in their group, nobody else takes a vacation, so you can't either.
Yeah.
So if everybody got together and said, okay, we're taking our vacation this year, then probably people would.
Yeah, it's the group thing.
They wouldn't be alone, you know.
You probably haven't ever seen the movie Office Space, have you?
I don't think so.
All office cubicle people love this movie. And even though I've barely worked in a cubicle, sorry, I get it. But it's basically the guy ends up doing everything wrong, showing up late, doing every single thing he could do wrong because he wants to get fired. And instead, he ends up getting promoted and promoted and promoted. And it's hilarious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. it's funny because it's true. It's like, even in acting and a lot of different things, like all the people who kind of show up late, they didn't know what to have anything memorized. They weren't professional. They would sit there and leave the room because sometimes I was a reader, you know, I'd read the other part. And they would leave the room and the casting director would be like, wow, he just had something. I don't know. It's kind of different. And like, I don't know. He was kind of late and he kind of didn't know what was going on. And I just realized, like, I've been doing this all wrong. I should have been, you know, showing up half an hour late with no pants on or something. And I would have... Maybe not that. That's a different kind of casting call, but, you know. This is going to sound, always sound like I'm making it up, but I'm not. I had the kale salad in a bag tonight again with egg and avocado. I have it every day. Well, I have some version of that every day, every night. The kale Caesar.
Well, that's good.
It was on sale the other day, so I got like three of them. Oh, I like it.
The bag of kale salad.
And then, but I eat the entire thing. I mean, in theory, you're supposed to split it with, you know, your friends and family, but I eat the whole thing. I mean, it's just lettuce.
Yeah, that's probably not too much to eat at one time.
No, probably not. It is a lot of lettuce, though. Every time I make it, I pretend like I'm just going to eat half of it, and then I'll come back to it later. And I always come back to it in like 30 seconds. Put it in a trough, pour myself a glass of Kool-Aid.
Karen and I went to Red Robin last night.
Red Robin.
And I forgot my glasses, so I couldn't read, you know, look at the menu or anything. I didn't know what was on there. And Karen happened to see this thing called a bonsai salad.
Okay.
And I always get the bonsai burger. And
yes.
Before we went, I was thinking, gee, I wish I could get the bonsai burger with no burger. I was even thinking about it. Okay, how can I eat it? So anyway, this bonsai salad had chicken and then it had teriyaki sauce that was absolutely the kind I remember from way back in the 60s when I went to Hawaii
60s.
The first time.
Wow.
The best teriyaki sauce. Oh, that was good. I really liked it.
The bonsai salad. I wish that this burger had... But that's the story of my life. This sounds pretty good if it didn't have the burger. I don't know why I made that sound.
I don't know either.
Well, my eye's fine. The wasps seem to be dead.
Oh, boy, yeah.
They've been sprayed. They've been totally sprayed and sprayed and sprayed and sprayed and sprayed some more. So now I'm going to grow, like, if I get, like, a brain tumor, you'll know why. Because there's all the wasp spray.
See, now, wouldn't that be just the thing?
You know.
You're trying to keep from getting bit by wasps, then you poison yourself with spray.
I know.
Oh, my gosh.
It's funny, because once again, I'm thinking of your little voice, because I sprayed it, and because I was just trying to get into the house, and it said it has, like, a 75-foot stream. Oof. So I shook it up, sprayed it a little bit. And then I was just, like, going to get in the house and then figure out another strategy for plan B. And then I read the bottle, and it said something like, you know, don't get near vegetation or open sewage or something else or in too many cracks. And then I thought, there were just all these rules, so I kind of stopped reading because there, you know, it was probably like, once again, it's better not to know. But it probably said something about, like, If it's right next to your house, don't spray it because you'll get a brain tumor. But I didn't make it that far in the directions.
Well, for crying out loud, you have to spray them where they are.
Yeah.
You know? You can't even move them someplace else and then spray them. I mean, you have to get them wherever they're.
But they're still,
they are.
Their bodies are still there. So I have to get rid of the bodies and I don't have like a broom to do it. I keep thinking like I'm afraid to go up to them because what if they come back to life or something? But if I don't, then, you know, all their posse, they're going to be like, we found the bodies. It's her fault. And they're going to stalk me some more and they're going to bring their other friends and their other friends are going to get me.
Do you have anything like a rake or anything that you
A rake. It's not like that.
Rake them away from the house.
I don't know. I feel like that's pretty extreme. I'm sure someone has a rake around here. I'm in waste management. We don't have rakes. I have access to some sort of broom. A rake is a good idea, though. It's just
stuck in the broom.
Well, they're on the step, though, so I just have to sweep them off the step first and then see what happens. Ay, 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 Linda. I just choked on my almond butter.
Oh, no.
Thanks. call the cops. Linda, every time I'm on the phone with you, there's another tragedy. Yesterday, before yoga, so there was some broken glass I was trying to clean up, and I must have stepped on a little sliver of it, because I was like, it really feels like there's glass in my foot, and there was glass in my foot. So I was sitting there, it was this morning, wasn't it? I was like taking the tweezers and a fingernail clipper and getting it out, because if you just kind of you can't really dig so much as you have to chop out. So I got it out, thank goodness, because that hurt. I had a piece of glass in my foot last week at yoga, and that really hurts. You can't take me anywhere.
I haven't had any glass in my foot for maybe once or something.
I mean, just a little. I mean, that's where I think to myself when I have a tiny piece of glass, like a tiny, tiny piece of glass, and it hurts so much. You know, in the movies when they're like slammed in the head with a sledgehammer, and then they just get up and keep on running, and then they have like gash in their leg, and then they step on a tree, and it goes through. You know, they just keep going. I'm like, I can't even move, and I have this tiny piece of glass in my foot. Forget about it.
I think it must be fake on TV, because I don't think most people could.
It is fake on the TV. Everything on the TV is fake.
Really? Don't tell me that.
Except for what you watch. It's all real.
Well, I was going to say, you know, like there's Ken the Homicide Hunter, and, you know, he's real.
Hey, I forgot. We need to do an episode about sports.
Oh, yeah. Football starting in 2 weeks. College football starting.
Oh, really?
NFL is also starting. The commentators on the radio are just having a heart attack. They said, oh, let's get to the real thing. We're tired of all the preliminaries here. All these players are getting hurt in the preseason games, and then they won't be able to play all year. So that really makes a lot of sense. Oh, my gosh, this one guy purposely tried to injure this other player last night in the game.
Ooh.
He's had two surgeries on his knees. And this guy purposely tried to hit him as hard as he could in his knees, you know, during one play. And so you have to be determined what kind of trouble he's in.
Did he have a crowbar?
Not quite, but, you know, he has pads and has helmets and, you know, all that stuff is pretty hard that you can hit somebody with. But anyway, so that was a big deal.
It was such a big deal that there's no way I would have ever heard about it unless you were here. Thank goodness for you.
You're not tuned into Fox Sports News or whatever.
Yeah. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I, for one, can't wait for college football season where you get all worked up and have to leave the room.
Oh, I know. Oh, my gosh. Well, see, though, this year, it's both because Marcus Mariota is playing for the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, that's right.
And so I have to keep track of that team. And then I have to keep track of Chip Kelly's team.
That's true.
And then college, too, so.
Wait, who's Chip Kelly's team now?
It'll be a busy fall.
It'll be a busy fall. I'll be like, hey, Mom, do you have 5 minutes to talk? Nope. Sorry. The preseason, the pre-show is starting. Okay, well, maybe during the commercial. No, I have to watch I have to flip to the other channel during the commercial.
Yeah, just for the other one.
So I can watch.
That's about right sometimes.
It is.
Sometimes I do love 2 days.
Oh, I'm totally chopped. I will never forget the day I came back from, one of the times I came back from Italy, and I was like, hello. And you're like, go away. I have to finish watching this game.
Terrible.
It really was terrible.
Gosh.
I've never forgotten it, clearly. I was scarred for life. Nobody loves me. It's true. Yikes.
I'm a terrible mother.
Yeah, you are. I left the nest, so I don't get your best. And the rest is silence.
I can't fell asleep. Now my hand is all.
Uh-oh. From the phone? It's a brain tumor. Brain tumor. You've got a brain tumor. It's okay.
It's a hand tumor.
A hand tumor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was just watching the TV a second for a second.
It's all right.
Sorry. I haven't been watching it this whole time. I just happened to glance up at the TV.
I've been solving quadratic equations while you're talking, so there you go.
You probably could do two things like
that. Yeah, no. Well, I can do two things, but I can't solve any math problems with even the help of a graphing calculator, so there you go.
Oh, okay.
It was great talking to you anyway, as usual.
You too. Yes, I'm glad to hear from you.
soon.
Talk to you later, Linda.
Okay.
Bye.